All right, would you open your Bible to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11? Hebrews, chapter 11. This is our Vision Sunday for 2026. Hebrews, chapter 11. And Hebrews, chapter 11. And look down at verse 13. Hebrews 11, 13. These all died in faith. Paul writes, speaking of Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, these all died in faith, not having received all the promises that God made to them, but, and I wish you would underline these words, having seen them afar off. So they had an ability to see the promises that God made to them, even though they didn't receive them at that time, having seen them afar off, and they were persuaded of those promises, and they embraced them, and they confessed that they were what? Strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would remind us, God, this world is not our home. We are strangers and pilgrims here. But we're lost without something that we're focused on. We'll wander. We'll struggle with just why where we're at if we don't have a prize, a focus. We don't have a vision. Lord, this church needs a vision. Every year we need to know what are we doing? Where are we going? What are we trying to do? May we be faithful, God. I pray that you would help us, God, as we open up the pages of this book and let it speak to our hearts, that we would hear it and we would catch your vision. We don't want to come up with what we want to do. We want to do what your will is. And so I pray that you would bless this church, God, with a new year. We already are living and breathing. We have been given the gift of life and the gift of eternal life. But we need tomorrow and the next day to know that we're in the will of God. And that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing for your pleasure, for your glory. So bless as we just open your word. Give us a vision for next year, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So as I just read, I have to tell you, I love the memories I have of the past. I have great memories. We actually had a great year last year. Several people got saved. We had some baptized, even had some join the church. I think we had a great men's camp. It was a really tough subject. It was the book of Job, but the men really enjoyed the men's camp. Our Bible club, we had 61 children. One got saved. We had 151, do you remember, come out for our resurrection play. We set up, we had the tomb, we had the crucifixion, we had the singing. We had 151 people in attendance that day heard the gospel. It's a great year we've had. Maybe you forgot. I wasn't able to be here, but I heard it was a great 31st anniversary as a church. I just tell you, great memories just this past year. And I try and store away good memories. The Bible says do that. If you keep all your bad memories, you're cursed. You need some good memories that you hold on to and focus on. And I think we all have some good memories from this past year. But I enjoy having faith for the future more. I actually like doing something I'm uncomfortable with. I like stepping out by faith and doing what God asked me to do, even though I know I can't. Even though I know it's beyond me. Even though I know it's going to be a miracle. I enjoy living by faith. I like seeing glimpses where we should be. I don't try and compare myself. Please, don't compare us with other churches. I don't look at their musical abilities. I listen to preaching and I listen to people teaching. And if I compare myself with them, it kills me. I try to learn from them, but I'm not trying to compare performance with other people. I try to just see how are they stepping out by faith. What are they doing by faith? Because I want a glimpse of what I should be doing. And it's called having a vision of what we should strive for in the future. And this morning, I want to preach about the future. Now, I'm not talking about eschatologically. That means about the future when Jesus comes back and the millennial kingdom and all this stuff. I'm talking about just next year. What do we look at? How do we prepare our hearts so that we do his will for 2026? So this morning, I want to start off with how to see what God sees. How to see what God sees. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46. And the first thing, it should pop down there, I didn't set it up correctly, I guess, but the first thing I need to encourage you is God doesn't need to give you a dream, doesn't need to give you some visual. We are a visual generation, aren't we? Yeah. Everything has to be in motion, has to be multi-dimensional, has to have full color for us to even pay attention. God doesn't do that. You know what he says? Faith cometh by, not even reading. What does the Bible say? Hearing. Sometimes, I encourage you, if you're reading your Bible and it's not really doing anything for you, stand up and read it out loud and listen to the words as they come back into your ears. Because faith comes by just hearing God's word. You know what you're listening to when you're reading the Bible? You're listening to God's mind. You're listening to God's heart. That's a good thing. God, let God speak to you from the pages of this book. Jesus called it the words that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Isaiah 46 in verse 10. Let me show you how amazing these words are. Isaiah 46 in verse 9. Who am I going to listen to? Tarot card readers? Mediums? Am I going to listen to the RT newscast? Watch your Bible. Isaiah 46, 9. Remember the former things of old. God says, for I am God. Amen. And there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. What's so different about God? Declaring the end from the beginning. And from the ancient times, all the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. You know, God sees the end already from the beginning. When he started this universe, he knew how it was going to end up. So if there's anybody I ought to be listening to, it's him. Okay? Somebody says, oh, you need to invest in this cryptocurrency. Oh, you need to invest in this stock. Oh, you need to get involved in this thing. They're hoping that they're right. I know somebody who's always right. Take your Bible, also go to Isaiah 55. Go to the right a few pages, Isaiah 55 and verse 10. Isaiah 55 and verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and as the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the ground and maketh it bring forth and bud. I mean, all that water that we get out of the sky is not wasted. We get green grass, amen? And that it make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. What's the first thing you need to do if you want to start having a vision of what God sees? Listen to him, because he'll tell you what's ahead. You know, one of the greatest proofs that your Bible is the word of God is Revelation chapter 13. It's describing our world to the letter about devices in and numbers and names inside your hand or in your forehead. There's Elon Musk trying to put a thing called Neuralink in the back of your head and your skull, and that thing being able to pick up thoughts from you and give you thoughts. All that stuff is predicted. God can tell you how things are going to turn out. That's why I listen to him. If I want to know what's ahead, he'll tell me, amen. Secondly, allow him to lead and direct. You know, the big word there is allow. I'm worried about modern Christianity because none of us allow God to lead. We don't mind going to church, but don't tell me what to do. Don't you dare preach to me. That's my job. Don't tell me what I have to do. You see, Proverbs chapter 3, you're in Isaiah, go to the left. Proverbs chapter 3. You should know these verses. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. We fail to do this one scripture. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? Man, that doesn't mean with all your head. How many of you understand God? Let me see your hands. Anybody understand God? Oh, boy. That's, you got a lot of work to do. Anyway, I don't understand God. I am glad I know him. I'm glad he knows me. But this is not about trusting God with my head and with my mind and being able to add up all the dots and calculate all of the possibilities. Not at all. It's trusting with all my heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. Don't trust what you understand, verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge, which means obey. In all thy ways acknowledge him, yield it to him. And guess what he'll do? He'll direct your path. You know how to make it so that God will show you what way to go and where to end up is to yield and to just, if he says today to get saved, you get saved. If you get the Holy Spirit tells you right now, repent and get right, you just humble yourself right then and there. Repent and get right. When you just start yielding, God says, I'm going to take you to the next step and the next step and the next step. Allow him to lead. The best thing that can happen in this church service today is for you to say to the Lord, Lord, whatever you say, I'll do. That's the best thing. If you're expecting somebody to rise from the dead, came to the wrong place. Fear dominates us, the past, and our pride stops us so that we argue, we resist, and we fight God's pull and push on us. But the sweetest and the most powerful days of your life will be when you completely surrender to whatever God's will is for you every day. If you want to know what God's will is for you in June, surrender to him today. Third, be doing his will already. Do what God has showed you to do. Are you doing that? Now you're here in church. You know what that means? You knew God's will was on the Lord's day to gather together, assembling ourselves. Amen, you're on the way. But just get used to regularly doing whatever God says do. No matter how small or hard it may be that God asks you, just do that. Just be obedient to his will. Trust his leading and he will direct your path. And that's when God starts showing you the view ahead. That's when you start catching the vision that your pastor is going to try to show you today. And you won't go, oh, I didn't get that vision. Well, maybe not. But you see, you'd be reading the same Bible I'm reading. You start doing the things that I do and being obedient, all of a sudden we'll all have the same vision. We'll all have the same goals. Now, what's your job, Pastor? What's the job of a pastor? Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. The book of Acts, chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts 20, 28. Down to verse 30, it says this. Paul is talking to a bunch of pastors, and he said, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. All right? Take care of yourselves. Make sure you're right with God. And take heed, pay attention to the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. We'd say managers, if you want to use a modern word. And I want you, Paul says, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Remember who you're ministering to. Christ paid his blood in order for them to get saved. For I know this, that after my departing, Paul is warning them, saying, I've done my best, but after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. What does a wolf do if he gets amidst a bunch of sheep? He has dinner. And Paul says, I know when I have to go somewhere else, wolves are going to attack that flock of yours. Verse 30, also of your own selves is our warning. Be careful, because from our own selves can become wolves who tear the flock apart. Shall men arise speaking perverse things and draw away disciples after them. My first job as a pastor is to shepherd this flock. I know people don't want a shepherd. They want a speaker. They want somebody who can you know, say funny stories and can tell good jokes. Well, you know I fail on both counts there. Why'd you have to laugh? Stop it. It's true. People don't want a shepherd. I mean, I don't know how many shepherds get to tell the sheep his jokes, but the purpose of a pastor is to shepherd. That means to feed. Now, that doesn't mean spoon-feed. Don't expect that I'm going to make everything plain. I try my best to make it very clear and make it understand what the Bible says, but I'm not spoon-feeding you. I'm putting the dinner out there, and I'm expecting you to dive into it. And I definitely don't want to feed you a lot of sugar and butterflies. How many of you came to church for sugar and dragons and butterflies? No, man. I didn't come to entertain you. I came to show you the rich truths of this book. My job is to teach you how to read this Bible. You know what the greatest, you may not realize it, but this thing called the Renaissance was a reaction to the ignorance that was in the Middle Ages and the Dark Ages because of the Catholic Church and ignorant stuff like that. And the Renaissance was a desire to read. And guess what book everybody wanted to read? The Bible. It has been a bestseller ever since, because this book's got to be known by our nation and by our people. And my job is to get you to read and to think and understand this book. I have to teach you to trust and to know the God of this book, man, to know that he's worthy of your life. Get you to love him and follow him. My job is to answer questions. Don't ask Weston to ask me a question. And my goal is to get to stir up questions in you. Go, I never thought about that. As a shepherd, I feed the flock. I also protect the flock. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. After the book of Hebrews comes James, and then 1 Peter chapter 5. I just don't come to church. I worry about the church. I worry about some of you all the time. Some of you are on my top of my prayer list. And I pray for God. Listen, we're in a spiritual battle. You're not my enemy. You know who is? The spirit behind you. Spirit that you let into your thoughts through your phone and through YouTube and whatever you're watching. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober. Speaking to Christians, be vigilant, on guard, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may desire. He's looking for Christians to desire, to devour. Whom, and every one of you can trust this verse is true, you can resist steadfast in the faith. You just got to know the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions, whatever you're going through, are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Everybody's going through the mill. Everybody's going through troubles. How many of you want to live in Nigeria right now? But we don't have to live in Nigeria to have enemies and have problems and have discouragement, disappointments, and have frustrations and have lies and twisting of Scripture. I tell you, I've recently just seen all the emphasis goes in cycles. Now there's this new wave of people giving like 8 things you do got to do to be saved. I mean, bang, 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 be baptized, be faithful, don't sin. I'm going, where's all this stuff come from? YouTube. I got to protect you. I got to teach what is true. I've got to warn of what's false. I've got to make people aware of a spirit in this world that is aiming to discourage you and stop you from following Jesus Christ. Got to protect you. And I've also got to correct you sometimes. Sheep easily go astray. Sheep are easily distracted, and they're easy targets. You know, a lot of people want a showpiece for a pastor, someone who's like an old hood ornament. How many remember the hood ornaments that used to be on the front of the car? Do you know what purpose those hood ornaments provided? Absolutely nothing. But they were there, and a lot of churches have a hood ornament for a pastor. Looks good, but does nothing. You know, I am supposed to notice when you're living wrong. I'm supposed to notice when you're talking wrong, when you're believing wrong. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Go to the right, find 2 Timothy chapter 4. Go to left, sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 4. A couple of small books just before Hebrews. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Wonderful scripture here. Again, written to the pastor, to the shepherds. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season when it's not popular. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. There's your vision. Well, Ledbetter, what do you expect when you start a church? Oh, you know what I expect? People to come and people to go. I expect that. I wish I could expect that everybody would stay, be enamored with my style, be awed with my knowledge. You know, sometimes I have to go after somebody and says, you're going the wrong way. Amen. You're following a liar. Amen. You're becoming like the world. Amen. You say, well, I don't like a pastor like that, but that's my job. My job is to preach the word and warn. You got to decide whether you follow it or not. Go to 1 Peter. You go back to the right, find 1 Peter chapter 5. And last, two more thoughts. Take the oversight. You'll see where this is going in a moment. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1. This is what a shepherd does. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 1. The elders which are among you, Peter's now speaking, he says, I exhort, I urge, who also am an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. And he's speaking to those men. He says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight there, taking charge. Not by constraint. You're not forced to do this, but willingly. Definitely not for filthy lucre's sake, not for money, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. To take the oversight means to supervise, to watch over, to manage something or someone, to ensure that things are done correctly. It implies a position of responsibility where you're monitoring progress, quality, or behavior without necessarily doing all the work yourself. We call them managers. They don't do everything, but they make sure everything gets done. The person, go back to the left, turn a few pages to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Any person who has authority also has accountability. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Written to the church, written to the Christians, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your, not for your wallet, they watch for your souls. That as they that must give account, going to have to answer to God, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. There's one other thing that a shepherd does is he leads the sheep. You know, the sheep don't know where the grass is, right? Now it's right before their feet. But they don't know how to look beyond the hill. They don't know where the next grazing place is. They don't know whether over the hill is a ravine or a cliff. They're trusting that shepherd to say, come on over with me, follow me. And he calls them all by name. But the purpose of a pastor is to lead. Now go to Proverbs 29. Proverbs chapter 29, middle of your Bible, Psalms and then Proverbs chapter 29. Got to get through these scriptures before I get to my main point. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. Would you agree that church is not supposed to be a free-for-all? Just come and do as you please. Can you imagine what church would be like if everybody just did what they wanted? Proverbs 29:18. Look what the Bible says. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where do we get our vision from? The book. The Bible. You get in that Bible, you start obeying it. God shows you what is ahead and you go for it. And the pastor is supposed to have a vision. We're supposed to have sight of something more than where we are at. Hebrews chapter 11. Go back there again. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. Hebrews 11, 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should also receive for an inheritance, he obeyed And he went out not knowing whither he went. He'd never been there before. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, we'd say tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked not for a country, but for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He had a vision of more than just the promised land. He saw a city. It's called the New Jerusalem. Look down at verse 13. Hebrews 11, 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things, if they have the courage to say, I'm just passing through. I'm a stranger here. They that say such things declare plainly that they are seeking a country, another country. And truly, and here's the truth, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, was Israel ever mindful of Egypt? Oh boy. For 40 years, all they wanted to do was go back. Well, look what the Bible says. The guys who went forward were the ones that refused to look back. The Bible says, verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Wouldn't it be sad if you ever had the desire to go back to drinking? You know what God may just allow you to do? Go back to drinking. You ever wonder what it'd be like to go back to the old ways, go back to the discos, go back to the sin that God saved you from? Can you imagine? If that's all you're thinking about, you know what God may just do? Step back and let you do it. What a curse. You know what a purpose of a church is? For us to have a goal that keeps us focused on the future, not on the past. I don't care how good or how bad 2025 was, we need to focus on 2026 now, amen? Philippians 3, you're in Hebrews, go to the left. Philippians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, chapter 3 and verse 13. Philippians 3, 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I like how he says, it's like somebody reaching, trying to grab something and pull yourself forward a little bit further. He says, I haven't apprehended, I haven't arrived. But this one thing I do, and I do, and I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, whatever God has for me, I see it as a prize. Whatever good was last year, it's only better next year. That's how a Christian sees it, because it leads not to where you're going to be in 2026, but my eyes are even on eternity. That's how a Christian lives. Now, I got to say this. Don't expect me to change. I had fun with AI. Aren't you glad that's not your preacher? And yet, that's 90% of the pastors out there, if they're male. They're all hip. They're all popular. They're about ready to sing a rap song. I mean, honestly. You know, it doesn't matter what year it is or what culture you and I find ourselves in. As a pastor, I don't need to constantly change. Don't look for your pastor to start to dress like that in order to get people to come to church. Amen. Most every church is changing. Can you say amen? Whether it's hair color, hairstyle, torn jeans, hat on backwards. And those are the small things. What about the big things like churches now promoting LGBTQRST? Churches actually saying it's okay to drink and go out and just have fun, just don't get drunk. Churches actually saying abortions are okay. Churches actually saying that we're all going to heaven, just be good. Our generation's damned because churches are changing. I work very hard to just stay faithful to the Word of God. I don't know a lot. I know this. I just want to anchor everything I do by this book. I'm a Baptist by choice. I wasn't born in a Baptist home. I didn't know what Baptists were. A Bible-believing Baptist gave me the gospel, invited me to church, but I wasn't, I got saved in a Baptist church, but I wasn't Baptist for a whole year before I started going through all the different things of why I believe the Bible and why history says I must be a Baptist. And I am by choice. I don't set out to just be weird. I don't want to be different, but by design. I've discovered that that book can change anybody. And so I'm just going to let the book work. Amen. So don't expect me to constantly be changing. We're never going to change our Bible version. I call it version. It's not, there are perversions out there. But we're King James Bible only. Amen. We're not going to change our music. I love chorus songs. I love new songs and stuff. But we are conservative, man. And we're always going to have a hymnal in our hand. We're always going to just worship God, not sway and swing and show off. Amen. We're not going to change our philosophy of ministry or any of our doctrines. You know what my job is? To get people saved. To get them discipled and get them serving the Lord. That's enough to keep me busy. If I have to keep changing, I will end up doing nothing. Just know this. I must not do all the work. You need the help. In January, at the end of January, we're going to have Ministry Sunday, and we're going to talk about all our ministries where you can get involved. I can do anything in the church except play the piano. Can't fix coffee. Cindy won't let me. There are a lot of things I can't do, but I love serving God. But I must not do it all. I need your help. We're a body. You and I are the body of Christ here. We were saved to serve both God and people. And whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not, you are gifted by the Holy Spirit not to perform. You say, I'm not a great singer. God never asked you to be a singer. You know what he asked you to do? Serve. Make somebody happy. Bless somebody else. So how do we do that? Well, we put it into real life and we do something with what we're called to do. So what's ahead for next year? You ready? Genesis. Well, we've been in Genesis for a whole year. We have only just begun. We're finishing up in chapter 9. The next message is on generational curses and how to break free of them. There are things that are in your life because of your parents and your grandparents and decisions they made, the environment you grew up in, you need to be free from. There are things that are passed down, and you don't even know why you're angry at somebody. You don't even know why you say what you say and how you talk or whatever. That's a generational curse that's got to be broken. And you'll find it right in Genesis chapter 9 there with Noah, Canaan, Ham, and that whole thing going down that line. You got to break free of that. We're getting into chapter 10, hopefully get to chapter 25. And looking, we'll end up with Jacob and Esau. It's my goal, but the focus is on preaching. I'm just going to keep on going verse by verse through this Bible. You know why? Because that's what I'm told to do. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Go to the left, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I wanted to title the book of Genesis study, The Gospel According to Genesis, because the gospel is throughout the book of Genesis. So we're not just learning history. We're learning the gospel every time we look in a page. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says this, Christ sent me not to baptize. Now, we do baptize, but that's not my calling, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. I don't want to diminish what Jesus did. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. It's just a big laugh. Just a bunch of foolishness. But unto us which are saved, isn't it true? It is the power of God. We know what works. Verse 19, for it is written, God promises, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. And I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. So where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, never could find God. So it pleased God by the foolishness of... What are you doing, Pastor? I'm preaching. I'm passionately declaring the truth. And God has chosen by the foolishness of preaching. Oh, you believe the Bible, literally. You believe God created everything in 6 days. You think this world is only 6,000 years. Yep. Yep, 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 yep. Because the Bible says, by the foolishness of preaching, God saves them that believe. Verse 22, the Jews, oh, they always require a sign, a miracle. And the Greeks, oh, they want wisdom. But we preach who? We preach Christ, crucified. Oh, unto the Jews, it's a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks is foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So how do you preach, Brother Lebeder? I love, like right now, I'm just taking you through a thought. I love preaching verse by verse. Because, it's a story. I love preaching because I learn what's wrong in me and what's right in God. Now, there's some boring stuff in there. How many of you have ever read your Bible? You go, I didn't get anything out of that page. Amen. There's a lot of good stuff in there, too. I just know this. Every word was written and spoken by God. It's worthy of me learning from. Some of you went to school and you learned philosophy class. Some of you live by your feelings. Some of you live for conspiracy theories. And you have no absolute truths. I'm here to give you absolute truths as found in the Bible. Because without the Bible, all education is dead end road. Best education will lead you to a hole in the ground. Amen. Romans 15:4, if you go back just a few pages, one page maybe. Romans 15:4. And this is not speaking of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's speaking of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Romans 15:4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, written in the Old Testament, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of those scriptures, that we might have hope. So I'm going to preach through, get through some more of Genesis. We'll probably be at it for 3 years. But just like we've done Acts and Romans and now Genesis, all I know is Genesis is awesome. As you start to find Abraham, you'll see yourself. And you start to see all his flaws, you'll thank God for grace. Bible classes. What is going on in the future? Did you know an hour on Sunday when you come from 11 to 2:30 when I finally finish? you know, when you come for an hour on Sunday, it is not enough. You know how I asked the computer, how much time is it now that people have been charted on their phone every day, the average hours on their phone, whether they're watching Netflix or whether they're scrolling Instagram, TikTok, all that stuff? 6 hours is the average now. I don't understand. 6 hours. How do you have 6 hours a day to be on your phone? That's 42 hours a week. No wonder we have no revival. So we have Bible class. We have family Bible class at 10 o'clock. Trevor pours his heart out, giving us something to chew on and to know. He's going through the book of Proverbs. You need to be here. Because you've given at least 10 hours to that phone of yours. You need to give 2 hours to the Lord on a Sunday. Amen. I got one amen. You know what else we have? Over next door, we have children's church. Betsy sits there, pours her life into those kids. You know what they're going to be learning? About those prophets in the Old Testament. They're going to be learning, thus saith the Lord, from the Old Testament, pointing to Christ. Those kids get to learn. You should wish you were a kid again to go sit in there. We're just going to have children's church every Sunday, 11 o'clock. Right now, you see Gleb, he is doing the teen Bible class. He's doing it. He was doing it once a month. He's moved up to every other week. I wonder where he's going with this. And his focus is on teaching the teens that they are different by God's design. It's a great truth. Last time they talked about masculinity. Now he's teaching today on femininity. Boy, I'd like to be in there listening as a fly on the wall. Amen. That's what's ahead, is faithful laboring in the Word of God is this church. You know what happens on a Wednesday night, don't you? We have Bible study and prayer time at 7 o'clock. We gather, usually in here. We've been trying out across over there. And it's a great time for you to come and sit and learn and pray. And Trevor told me, I can tell you, we're starting in the book of Joel, verse by verse. Amen. Let's see. Bill and Geraldine, come on up. We're starting our next discipleship class in 2 weeks. Bill and Geraldine have just completed the discipleship class, and curious to hear what they have to say about the class. Might pull up their...
Well, indeed, it's been absolutely fantastic, and it's my second time going through it. 25 years ago or more, I think I was the first time. So it gives you all the values of life, or the issues of life, I should say. And it's you're drawing yourself closer to God because you have the Word of God. And as we heard earlier, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But we're actually examining it. And Craig has put together a masterpiece when it comes down to the course, because there's such, you know, from A to Z, you could say, of the Bible. So it gives you that detail, but also the ability to ask questions about it, because it's the questions that really go into it. And I suppose over the years, I've grown enough to ask even more. Well, I probably went through a lot of questions initially, but at least you're asking ones that are maybe at a higher level, and it gives you that certainty that all what we're about and what we are learning from the Bible is true. And that comes across very highly in the course. So thank you, Professor. It was absolutely excellent.
Just to almost recap what Bill has said, it is a fabulous experience. We've spent the past 2 years. I'm just really sorry that it's over now, because it's so exciting every Sunday morning for that time, just that time as a group, just to know you're safely in a space where you're hearing the truth. There's no fear, there's no clash of channels of outside media and all the rest of it. It is pure truth that's coming true from the Bible. Our Pastor Craig has put together, it's an amazing study, and it's one of the best investments that you could ever put into your own relationship with the Lord. You're going to come through the course blown away, amazed and everything, but yet at the end it's just that closeness that you now have. Such we're never going to know everything about the Lord until one day when we're in heaven and everything, all the confusion falls away. But just to know that the Lord is your anchor and just your support, and you now have a way of understanding him even more, speaking to him more, speaking to him almost on a, I would have to say, coming from a Catholic background, the thought of just almost talking to the Lord was quite alien. I didn't know. We always had to do an Our Father type of approach, and it had to be very, very concise. Now it's like I'm driving the car and we're having our big discussion, and I'm just trying to hear what the Lord could possibly be doing, saying to guide. All I can say, guys, is please do think about it. It's the most terrific investment in your own relationship with the Lord. And then in turn, inevitably, the enthusiasm spills over and it does boost your confidence to reach, even just to try a little chat with the person next to you in the coffee shop. Thank you so much.
Amen.
For listening to us.
Amen.
I just wanted to say, I was just saying that this morning someone said, what will we do now when we're finished? And I was thinking of the film Forrest Gump, you know, where he was running for a long time, and then he asked the same question, what will I do now? But it really, it's, we'll have to bump into your next course.
Moving up to Trevor now. So I had them come up. Just to, I don't want you to think this is just a class. I don't know what else to call it. It is a classroom environment, but you have lots of questions. And I want you to consider, it starts in 2 weeks from 9:45 to 10:30. Trevor starts at 10 to about 10:45. So you can be in two different, either one of the classes, but I encourage you, there's a sign-up sheet in the back if you want to talk to me afterwards. I'm just going to start it up in the next 2 weeks, and you're more than welcome to join. Our men's camp is going to be on Nehemiah. It's absolutely going to be breathtaking. And the enemy's ruined everything in our life. If you're not careful, he ruins your thought life. He ruins your sanity. I mean, he ruins your home. He ruins your attitude. He just ruins your life. I mean, he's a devourer. Well, what do you do? Well, Nehemiah teaches you, come back in there and you can rebuild. And you don't rebuild just off winny-ninny. You rebuild God's way and with God's help. And Nehemiah does marvelously. He's a tremendous study as we're going to look through the life of Nehemiah and learn from him how to rebuild our homes, our heads and our hearts and our hands. So that's the men's camp. That's the week after, in April, the week after Resurrection Sunday. The theme this year for the Bible Club is going to be kids under construction. They're going to learn about Nehemiah as well on their level. So they're going to be building walls and building things by the Bible. How do you build? By, you know, they're learning memory verses. They probably know 100 scriptures. And putting that into their hearts and then actually applying it to their day troubles and their day situations will build them. And so we want to perfect that. We want to develop that so that they learn that they are building, not destroying. They're not surviving. They are achieving. And so we're going to help the kids who are under construction become great builders by the Bible. We have a missions trip coming up. One of the things we last time we did a missions trip was we've done one in 2015. We went to Exeter for a week with our missionary over there, Brother Stuart Harvey. And then 2 years ago, or was it last year? When did we go to Netherlands? Was it last year? Seems like forever ago. But this year we're going to go for about 8 days, 7 or 8 days, to Hungary and help out Zoltan Kish and his family, who we also support. We're going to Hungary. And if you want to help out and go, hand out tracts. It's going to be impossible to learn the language, but we will try for a little bit. But this is that pull of ourselves out to do something hard, to do something big, changes us. We may be a blessing to them. We may be a problem for them. I don't know. But it blesses us as we go. This is our vision for 2026, to go to Hungary in October. There is so much more. Honestly, we have, we'll be doing the Patrick's Day Parade and our anniversary in June. We have our weekly soul winning, our Cork City Evangelism. Say, where's all the new stuff? We don't need all the new stuff. You know what we need? To stay faithful. To stay burdened about the lost. To have men's prayer breakfasts where we get together and men, we have a nice breakfast or simple breakfast and then we pray. Ladies get togethers where they minister to one another. Healing Hearts ministry keeps going and ministering to one another. College career activities. Maybe you might have thought that a Bible-believing Baptist church was boring. I hope to tell you, no, we're busy. So what you can do, and by the way, we're trying to buy a building across the way. So there's a card on the back table. If you'll take that thing and consider it. As of right now, we have about, we don't have an exact number, but a half a dozen churches in the States have promised us to about currently 12,000 euros to help towards the purchase. We're, I don't know, 7,000-8,000 euros on the way. You say, that's not enough. Right. That's the point. It's not in us. We're doing it by faith. And, you know, if you just bring 5 loaves and 2 fish, I think God can do anything. It's don't hold back. So help us get that building. Pick up the reminder card on the back table. Let it remind you of what we're trying to do. God gave me this verse, Revelation chapter 3:8 says, I know thy works. I know how busy you are. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, Jesus said, and thou hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. So this is what we're doing in 2026. Does that mean it's going to be easy? Nah. There are going to be storms. But that's okay. There are going to be hardships. There's going to be troubles. I have never known it to be easy to do right. Have you? And to do the will of God. The will of God's always been hard. But I wouldn't change or exchange one thing because that's God's will I'm doing. So there's a calendar pack. There's a calendar on the back table, and people have already been grabbing the memory packs. Grab you a memory pack. I'll have more next week, so of all of the events. Folks, I'm here to ask you to look at 2026 and say, that's what we do, not just pastor, not just a few. These are things we get to do. We support our missionaries by faith promise. We care about the lost in Cork. I don't want to just sit here in our four walls. I want to worry about the lost and do something about it. We need to do every one of these projects and things together. Folks, this is not just my vision. This is yours and yours and yours and yours and yours as well. I'm going to ask, let's see, Trevor, where are you? Can you? I know you're all the way back there. Could you come up? And Bill, would you come up? And I'm going to ask also, Weston's looking away, but come on up. I'm going to ask these men to pray for us to be faithful to God's will in 2026. And then I've got some concluding statements. Come on up, Bill. And then if each of you just pray for us to be faithful and to do God's will, not just sit, but do something. Let's pray, folks.
Lord, as we move towards this new year, Lord, we just pray that you will be with us in what we try to accomplish here as a church, that you make us more faithful, that you strengthen us, Lord, and give us the insight and will to go out and do things for you, Lord. We pray that we will be soul winners. We pray that our hearts will be made right with you and grow closer to you. We pray for our commitment to helping this church and trying to get our building as well, Lord, if that's your will, that you will direct our paths.
Amen.
So we ask all this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Trevor.
Father, we just thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for your word. And thank you for the vision, Lord. Your word says, where there's no vision, Lord, we perish. So I pray that you'd speak to every individual in this church, Lord. We are the body.
Mm.
Lord, you have a job for every single one of us to do, Lord.
Amen.
You've given us gifts, Lord. You've plenty of gifts to give.
Amen.
If you don't know your gift, ask the Lord for it. And Lord, may we not stay frozen in fear, Lord, but may we move forward with you, Lord. You're always moving. You're always doing. You're always saving, Lord.
Yes.
May we be part of that. Help us to not be afraid, but help us go forward with what you've given to us, the gifts that you've given. Mm. May we bless one another with them in this coming year. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Weston, please. One final prayer.
I just want to say a first that it's dismissed no sport to myself as well, because I need to be faithful, like, and to be honest, though, the devil has been on me back that few months, you know. But just remember, whatever the Lord has you got through, like when I go soul winning on Friday, I stepped up by faith, but I actually, It's the Lord takes over, plus we are doing the same thing as Jesus did.
Amen.
We are doing the same things as the apostles did. We are doing the same thing as the false churches did.
Amen.
So, well, God saves us and he gives us a part of that calling, and we can either do it or not. So it's Lord, forgive me for being lukewarm in 2025. I put off a lot of souls in the street centre, Lord, and the soul is there to be saved, Lord.
Yes.
I pray you just bless each one of us, Lord. Touch us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for the things that we don't do. Just bless us, Lord. The spirit is willing, Lord, but this flesh is always fights back, Lord. But I pray, Lord, that you would, through the Holy Spirit, Lord, anoint us. Bless this church, Lord. Let your hand be upon each individual in this church.
Yes.
Bless us, Lord. We can't do without you, Lord. Jesus, you said to yourself, without you, we can't do anything. I pray you just bless us, Lord. Help us pick us back up.
Mm-hmm.
And help us just be behind Pastor, pray for Pastor. Because as he said, he can't do it all, like Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Moses couldn't do it all, Lord. And he listened to his wife's dad, whatever, Lord. And I just pray you bless us, Lord, and help us not to fear man, but just have a holy fear of you, to love you, and just to be faithful to you, because you were faithful to us. You went to the cross for us, Lord.
Yes.
You shed your blood. We forget about your death a lot of time that you went through so much, Lord, and you did it for me and each individual in this church, Lord. I pray again, Lord, bless us, protect us, give us boldness, and bless this church, Open Ball and colleague, Lord, for your glory.
Mm.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, gentlemen. Real quick, so what do you see? A lot of people are looking for an economic upswing. A lot of people are looking for a collapse. Worried about more wars and rumors of wars. A lot of people are caught up in more and more conspiracy theories. Those are all demonic distractions, folks. May the Lord open our eyes and our hearts to souls who are lost. Family members. Somebody you work with. We got to open our eyes to opportunities to actually hand out a gospel tract, to give the gospel, to get involved in church. What do you see? Maybe you need to look at yourself and see your own need to be born again. Do you know Jesus died for sinners? The only qualification you need to be able to be accepted by Jesus Christ is you come as you are. He's not looking for a good person because there are none. He's not looking for a religious person because we're all wrong. You know what he's looking for? A sinner. Christ Jesus came into the world like a doctor for the sick. He came into the world to save sinners. And Paul was honest when he said, of whom I am chief. If you think you're too bad to get to heaven, you need to learn about Paul. I want to ask you, what do you see? Do you see a future where you're going to be with Jesus when you die, or you're going to be in hell? You need to have a vision of where you're going. And know that you know that you know that you're going to be with Jesus. And the needs of our nation. Do you ever worry about Ireland? Do you ever worry about our nation? It starts in the churches, folks, and it really starts in our families. We need this vision. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dismiss with a song. Father, one more time I pray. We're at the end of 2025, and we're talking about a whole year ahead. We've got plans. None of them may happen. And that's okay with me. But Lord, the thing that I want to happen is for everybody in this room to get close to you, to get right with you, to love you, to walk with you, to enjoy you, to serve you. There's so many distractions, God. Our generation, this world does not know God, does not have God. And yet we're the most needy. So Lord, right in our midst, right now, please humble ourselves. Help us not think of anybody else except how much we need you. May we humble ourselves before you and ask you, God, whatever you have in store for me in 2025, make me ready. Make me willing. Help me serve. And whether I ever am appreciated or whether I ever am noticed, may I do it just for you. I pray that you bless these dear people. As you bind us as a church, as one body, God, so that we might please you all this next year. And if there is anybody who just comes to church and they fill the chair and they go out the same way they came in, God, I pray you convict them and show them they need Jesus today. These programs won't save anybody. These walls cannot convert anybody. Only Jesus saves. Let somebody cry out to you and ask you to save them now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's grab 296 in your hymnal. 296.